Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
We are back for another season of the Smash Factor for the 2025-2026 PGA season with the Sony Open. As most of you probably know, the Tournament of Champions was canceled due to drought conditions and stuff. I believe the course is actually fine now, but when they decided to cancel, they didn't know how well the course would be and didn't want to plan and bank on it, so they went ahead and canceled it. So this is the first tournament of the season. Didn't really hurt my feelings. It's always tough with real-life work, which is pretty crazy right now, plus NFL, and when NFL and golf's going on at the same time, it makes it a nonstop tough stretch, for lack of a better term. But NFL's winding down. Ready for some golf. It's been fun watching a little bit of the whatever they had on PGA or on the golf channel, PGA games or whatever they were a few weeks ago. Watched some of that. TGL's, it's okay. I don't mind it. My wife and kids actually like it a decent amount, so we'll have it on at least one of the TVs at times. If nothing else is on, we'll keep it on. Like tomorrow, or actually tonight, this is Tuesday morning. I think tonight we'll have a match on. Kind of the first one they've had where they're not I was a little surprised they started early and they were kind of going up against football. I don't know the thinking behind that, but neither here nor there. You know, tonight they're not going up against much, maybe some, you know, college basketball or NBA or stuff like that. But I think they'll have a larger crowd, audience at least, to watch. We'll probably have it on and watch it. I don't mind that. But I enjoy watching real golf on real courses and looking forward to this week. Full field. Don't have to worry about no cut event or anything like that. We jump right into it. Coming off a, you know, great college football season, on the DFS side, Bobby did a great job per usual. I actually am on, you know, we got one more college football slate / game, the national championship, probably in the middle of my greatest, pretty sure it's going to be my biggest college football bowl season of all time. Currently sitting around 74% hit rate during the bowl season. I think I'm 30-11 with the final game left. I have one play out in it so far. I'm sure I'll have either some props or a couple more by the time we get to the game. But that's been fun for all the members that have been jumping on there. I've seen some messages in Slack and stuff like that. Always a good time during the bowl season. I've had a winning bowl season for many, many years, but this is by far been one like no other. So that's been awesome. NFL's been great. We've had a great season there. Ryan's done well in the showdown stuff. The playoffs got off to a hot start. I think I had a pretty good weekend. Was very, very close to, if the Patriots-Chargers game just does any kind of offense like those first four, especially on the six game and the three game slates, I really, really could have had a huge week. Had a good week. It was okay, but was sitting right there, you know, on the edge of a monster week if we could have got some, especially the Patriots. You know, May throws a touchdown pass to Henry, and I thought maybe we'd get some scoring going there in the fourth late, but really didn't do much. And, you know, it was good. I took it. Last night was good as well. Started slow, but because I was pretty high on the Texans D, obviously the two defensive touchdowns jumped me up there, made some, you know, a little bit of money back. And looking forward to this weekend. Probably one of my favorite slates, the four game Saturday, Sunday. I like the six game from last week. A little bit tougher when you stretch over 3 days and there's some unknowns and a little bit different matchups. You may have a blowout here or there. Here you have, you know, for most part, eight great teams. Should have some solid matchups. And it's a fun slate. You know, the two-day slates are always a little more strategic. Some big money up there. And then we'll have Championship Sunday, which I'm sure will be a big slate. And then obviously the Super Bowl will be massive. We get, you know, the news yesterday of Brooks officially instated back into the PGA. He'll be for the Waste Management. That's going to be awesome. We find out, I think the deadline is February 2nd, on whether DeChambeau, Rahm, or Cam Smith want to take the same or maybe similar offer. It was laid out to anybody that had won a major or the Players from 2022 and on. So those are the only four that were eligible. Obviously, Brooks has already accepted it and his punishment. Be interested to see how that shakes out over the next couple of weeks. But if you want to hop on, join some of that college football stuff and the NFL as we come to a close and then hop on for the big PGA ride, you can join us now for 30% off any package with the code New Year, all one word. That includes a 7-day risk-free trial. Come check it out for a week. See if you like it. That's on any package, monthly, weekly, annual. You can do content or full site. Content gets you into Slack, plus all the, obviously, content, articles, and all that. Full site will get you all the NFL tools, PGA tools, model builders, lineup builders, all that kind of stuff on the site. You can go check all that out. And if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter or, you know, DM me and I'll reach out and answer anything you have on that. We are at Walleye Country Club. We're very familiar with this place. Par 70, 7,000-ish yards, just a little over that, 7,100 yards. Four par threes, two par fives, 12 par fours. Par five are two of the easiest on the season. Average size Bermuda grass greens, fairly flat. A lot of emphasis on the irons this week for the most part. I don't want to say birdie fest, especially depending on how the winds are. We'll get to that in a second. You typically see 16 to 18 under. So, I mean, you got to be able to score, but it's not, you know, all board, you know, 24, 25 under-ish. You know, I think I was looking last night and, you know, 10, 11, 12 under, you're in the top 10-ish, top 15-ish. So it's not just, you know, birdies all over the place. And especially if the wind picks up again, you know, it'll challenge these guys a little bit. And the more the wind, the more importance on around the green combination with irons. So if you are missing with irons, can you get up and down and move on, save your par, and go get your birdies where you need to? 120 man field. The weather, it looks great. We just got to watch the winds. I think there are going to be winds. It's just a matter, you know, let's get, you know, another 24, 36 hours from now. Again, I'm recording this early Tuesday morning, so really early. So we'll see Wednesday afternoon. Is there enough, A, to see if there's any kind of wave advantage, but B, you know, how strong is it going to be over those, you know, 4 days in general, just to kind of profile how we want to look at the players. But does it change our opinion of any waves? Right now, it looks like it's going to be strong, which, you know, isn't unusual there, but I don't see enough of any of the first 2 days to make it AM, PM, PM, AM, but we're fairly early to judge that. So for now, I'm just going to have some winds, but no rain. You know, it's going to be 75 to 80 most days, mostly sunny. We'll just have some winds that these guys are going to have to battle through pretty much all week, it looks like. But you know, nothing that they're not used to. I still think, you know, we'll have a -2, -3 cut line, and that winner will be around, you know, that 16, 17 under type number. Last, I think, 3 out of 4 years have went to playoffs. So, you know, we typically have a you know, well, as I look at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 out of the last 6 years has went to playoff. The other 2 years were just one stroke victory. So it tells you how tight it is up top. Stats I'm looking at this week: stroke gain irons, good approach, birdie or better, par four DK scoring opportunities inside 18 feet, and stroke gain ball striking, along with the recent form and course fit statistics. New to the course, 25 guys out of the whole 120-ish. So, I, you know, most of these guys have at least played the course once, if not many times. Excuse me. Salary ranks, 10K, we have two guys. 9K, we have nine guys. 8K, we have 10 guys. 7K, 35. 6K, 61, which seems to be similar to how they moved towards middle-ish of the year last year, where – if you didn't have that Scotty Rory type player, you know, they're not forcing guys to be prices just because to have it. So, you know, if there's not a Scheffler, we're not going to make Henley 11-8 just to have a guy at 11-8, which I don't mind that, because the distance between a Henley and a, you know, Kitayama or Kirk and Connors and stuff isn't the same distance as a Scheffler to, you know, whoever. And so to only have 10 guys above 10K, don't mind it. You get, what, 19 guys in between 8 and 9K, you know, allows for some balanced builds, but also makes, you know, different builds you can make. I mean, different combinations there you can go with. Could spread out the ownership. We'll see how that looks later on, especially with all the premium content on the site. I like how they did this week. We'll see how that continues on, especially once we get some more big boys in the field, how they decide to do the pricing. Are they going to bring back the 5K on certain weeks or not? Interesting to see how that goes. But I do like how they kind of did the pricing this week. Similar format as usual for me. Sweet 16, we'll do the 9K and above, 8K, 7K, and 6K. I'll give you three that I like and a bubble boy, a fade of the week, sleeper of the week, and then some gut feel plays that kind of stood out outside of those. Betting top five of the pop and two long shots. My early one and done leans, and then we'll wrap it up and get out of here. As I've said, since I went to this model, try to keep this fairly short. There's plenty of podcasts out there, and a lot of people get 20, 30 minutes into the podcast before they even get to any of the information. So I try to keep mine really just for the information you guys are wanting. Get it in, put it on 1.25 or 1.5 and get the information you want, you know, in a good manner. Start with 9K and above. I'm going to go to Matsu, 9,700. Wando Hero, whatever that's worth. But it's still, you know, it means he played recently more than some, and he won it. He's made the cut here the last 6 years straight. Worst finish was a 48th. He won it back in 2022. He's got a 16th, a 19th, and a 12th as well. So he, you know, seems to always play here, you know, pretty solid. He won the Tournament of Champions last year, so not too worried about, you know, firing up out of the gate. And again, like I said, he just won the Hero, whatever that was, a few weeks ago. So 9,700, if I'm going to pay up, he's definitely a guy that's on my radar. Harry Hall, 9,100. Maybe a little bit of sticker shock, but we were on him quite a bit last year. I definitely, you know, his game rose throughout the year. I think he's pretty solid this year. He's played here the last 3 years. He's got a 28th, a 42nd, and a 10th. You know, 17th in irons, 13th in birdie or better, 27th in par 4 DK scoring. He's number one in putting. We do know, you know, he can get hot with the putter for sure, but his other parts of his game has come along at times, which has, you know, raised his level of his game overall. 9,100 may seem like a lot, but maybe that keeps the ownership down. I don't mind going there. I like that he's played this course. This will be his fourth time now as well. Ben Griffin, you know, just a breakout career year last year. It was funny. We had, you know, if you see my pictures on Twitter at times, I have three TVs on my main living room, you know, mainly for a lot of this, for this job per se, you know, watching multiple things at once. But during the holidays, Christmas, you know, New Year, stuff like that, you know, you'll have football on or whatever. But one of them, we always try to have, you know, the Golf Channel will basically replay almost the final round of a lot of the tournaments from last year. And even my youngest, who's now getting older, but, you know, he just turned 12 on the 13th of December, getting, you know, much more into golf and playing. First of all, you know, he's doing well, junior tour and all that, but watching it, getting involved in all of it. But we look up there many times, and it seemed like it was Scheffler and Griffin, all the, you know, especially later in the year. Scheffler Griffin was up there quite a bit. He's also played here the last 3 years, a 12th, a 30th, and a 45th. Didn't play much, if at all, in the fall swing. That'd probably be like the one worrisome. I believe he got married, but, you know, stat wise, 10th and irons, 12th in approach, 16th in birdie or better, 8th in par 4 DK scoring, 18th in ball striking, 4th in putting. I mean, just rock solid across the board. Not much weaknesses there. You know, the one negative, I guess, if you're going to go there, would be, is there rust? Does it take him time? You know, how's the personal life change effect? But if I'm going to pay up, he would be the guy I go to. I definitely like him probably over Henley and like a Morikawa, stuff like that. My bubble boy would be Siwoo. He's a, you know, a roller coaster at times anyways. He definitely got more consistent over the last 12 to 24 months than he used to be, but done okay here. He won here back in 2023, so that's a positive. He's made the cut 4 out of 5 times, but outside the win, he really hasn't done much. A missed cut, 42nd, 55th, and then a 25th. He did play the Bermuda, got 4th. I like that. He's 2nd in irons, fifth in ball striking, 18th in opportunities inside 18 feet. Putter's not great. That probably would worry me a little bit, but recent form, 7th. Course fit overall, 11th. You know, enough there that I like him. 9,400 plus just a little bit of, do I want to pay up for, you know, his kind of up and down at times? Not sure, but I do like him, you know, especially if I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing 3 max, you know, he's probably, that is a true bubble to me. 20, he's probably makes the cut. He's right around there. And if I'm doing more than 20 lineups, he's definitely probably going to be in the pool. But right now, right on that fringe play. So 9K and above, I like Matsu, 9,700. Hall, 9,100. Griffin, 10,100. And then Bubble Boy, Siwoo, 9,400. 8K, I like Kitayama, 8,900. He's played here the last 4 years. He missed the cut his first time out, and then 3 straight made cuts. Nothing too crazy, but 24th 2 years ago, 37th last year, 15th at the Bank of Utah, which would have been 3 tournaments ago at the Fall Swing. So hasn't took some time off after that. Stat-wise, he looks phenomenal. 5th in irons, 1st in birdie or better, 1st in par 4 DK scoring, 8th in opportunities at 18 feet, 3rd in ball striking. Putting, he's about mid-pack. But for 8,900 with that stat profile, he's played here plenty. So I like that. Birdie or better was, you know, number 1 in the field in that. So, you know, can make some bogeys at times, but you know, if he can score and, you know, grind the wind out, if we do get the win, I think he can be right there. And I like that 15, 16, 17 under number for him to have a chance to win. I'd like it to play tougher for him, to be honest, but let me rephrase that. The tougher it is, I think the better for him, but I'm not scared to go off of him because of the price. He could be my second guy in, maybe my third guy in some lineups, and that's perfectly fine for me. Next up for me, Hoy, 8,100. Played here 3 times, 1 back in the COVID year, missed the cut in 2024. He did make the cut last year, 59th, but he's coming off a pretty good fall swing, including a 2nd, 22nd, and 7th, the last 3 tournaments, Bank of Utah, Worldwide Technology, and then the Bermuda. So I like how he finished the fall. We know his putting's always the issue, but stat-wise, he's number 1 statistically in my model right now. 3rd in irons, 4th in birdie or better, 9th in par 4 DK scoring, 2nd in opportunities, 1st in ball striking, 27th in good approach. Man, if he can just get some putting going, you know, remotely decent, you know he could be right there. And again, at A100, you know, he can be your 3rd or 4th in your lineup. You know, let's get a top 20 or better with him, and he can do some damage for you. I like the upside. Maybe he's grinded, worked on that putting, you know, over this, you know, probably he's had probably 3 to 5 weeks off from the Bermuda. I don't mind going there early in the season and see if it works out for us. Chris Kirk played here a ton, missed the cut in the last 6 years twice, bookends 2020, and then last year in the middle, he's had a top 27 or better those 4 tournaments, a 2nd, a 27th, a 3rd, and an 18th. So I like that. Strong showings here. Been first round leader here a couple times, 41st at the Bermuda. So I like that he played, you know, at least one tournament there of those last few, 11th in irons, 7th in par 4 DK scoring, 15th in opportunities inside 18 feet, 15th in ball striking, mid pack putting, you know, old veteran at this point in time. I don't worry about, you know, rust or distractions and stuff like that. So I don't mind him at all. 8,800. My bubble boy would be Connors. I don't mind him. I'm interested to see what the ownership comes in that. He's done decent here. A 12th, 11th, a 12th. The last 2 years have actually been his worst. A 57th and a missed cut. But before that, pretty solid. He played the hero as well. He finished 7th. Remember, if you're not familiar with that, I'm sure everybody is just listening to this. There's only, what, 20 guys there or something like that. But I like that he went out there, played, and showed up. And, you know, 7th is better than finishing 19th or something. So stats are just okay. His game was just up and down last year at times. Putting, he's about top 30, 35% in the field. So he just looks okay across the board. And 8,600 seems a little steep for that. I want to see what the ownership comes in for him combined with this, the profile. That's why I got him as Bubble Boy. To me, just an okay play right now. You know, if he's super low owned, maybe he comes in as a good leverage play and I'll bank on the upside. If he's the profile is what it is now. He's just okay. And in the inning, he's getting one of the highest owned in the AK. You know, by the time we pull in some stuff tonight on the deep dive and things like that on the site and talk about it in Slack and stuff, maybe downgrades and I move him out of the pool. So, you know, that stuff we'll talk about over the next 24, 36 hours before we head up to lock. So AK range, Kitayama, 8,900, Hoy, 8,100, Kirk, 8,800, Connors, the bubble boy, 8,600. 7K range, Mac Mesner, 7,500. Somewhat limited data, but pretty good. At this point, he's got a lot more, you know, than what you would think. It's not just two or three tournaments, but 21st here last year, 18th at Bermuda, 27th at Bank of Utah, top 20 or better in all the six major categories I'm looking at. Above mid-pack putting, not great, but just okay, which is fine for 7,500. Again, top 20 or better in the six major categories for me at 7,500. That's enough for me to take plenty of chance on him. I think he's a riser to look for this year. If you're doing your best balls and stuff like that, you know, he's one that I'm looking at this year to have a good year, and I'll be heavy on him this week. I like him a lot at 7,500. Another guy I like a lot, Pearson Cootie, 7,400, had a strong Korn Ferry year, mixed in some PGA starts last year, did play the fall swing. The last three tournaments, he finished third, 22nd, 51st, third at the Bank of Utah. He did play here 2 years ago in 2024, so I like that he's seen the course. Seventh in opportunities inside 18 feet, eighth in ball striking, 12th in birdie or better. Putting's just a little bit below average of the field, maybe a little bit negative there, but for 7,400, the upside there, the talent, you know, I believe I'll bank on that at 7,400. Not as strong on him as I am Mesner, but I do like him, and I'll have plenty of shares there. Eric Cole, 7,700. Feels a little cheap for him, especially profiling to the course. 61st, 13th, and 5th here. So every year he's played, he's gotten better and better with the 5th place last year. Miscut at the Worldwide, 21st at the Bermuda. Besides ball striking, he's top 18th or better in the other five stats, 37th in putting. So pretty strong profile for me for 7,700. This course seems to fit him to a T. I like the improvement year over year, so I definitely will have plenty of cold this week. My bubble boy is Nico, 7,900. Also has done well here his first three trips, a 66 and then a 12th and a second. A 4th at Bermuda, a 46th at Worldwide. So he's played a couple times in the fall. 9th in putting. I like him a lot. I liked him last year. My bubble boy is only to see what the ownership is. I assume, and maybe the, you know, this is dumb on me. Again, this early Tuesday morning, I haven't listened to any pods. I didn't. Yesterday was all work for me. I have a busy couple weeks coming up. I have a busy lot of stuff coming up, but hadn't listened to anything about golf as far as industry-wise. So I'll spend today listening to it as I'm doing my other stuff and windshield time, driving around, stuff like that. But I assume he's going to be the highest or one of the highest owned, just kind of looking at things. So we'll see what that comes looking like, you know, later on tonight. If he's not, I definitely like him even more. The only reason for me putting in the bubble boy is assuming he's going to be super high owned and where do I want to play him and where am I going to fade ownership elsewhere? Maybe I fade, you know, super chalk at the top and I'm okay playing him because I faded the chalk elsewhere. So 7K range, Mesner, 7,500, Cootie, 7,400, Cole, 7,700, Bubble Boy is Nico at 7,900. 6K range, we start out with Ekroat, 6,900. Another one that feels a little underpriced to me. I think this course fits him really well. He's rates out extremely well for me, top 15 overall, you know, just full model type stuff, you know, early in the week. 12th here 3 years ago, 42nd, and then a miscut last year. 41st at Bermuda. Stat wise, he's 14th overall, 19th in irons, 11th in ball striking, 21st in par four DK scoring, 26th in birdie or better, 26th in course fit, 11th in recent form. Another one that probably will be high owned or higher owned, you know, in that range, 6K range. But for the price, I'll, you know, 6K ranges just don't ever get as high as people want them to or think they do. So I don't see him being super where he gets egregious and I can't take him, but I'll eat some of that if I have to, but I like him a lot at 6,900. Gim 6,900. We know his putting's started to improve at times. He's played here four times. Two of them were back 5 and 6 years ago. He's missed a cut 3 out of 4. So that's probably a negative that if you want to take that. He missed the cut. He made the cut last year, but didn't do much on the weekend. Fall swing ended strong, a 63rd, and then he went 13th and 7th. Stat-wise, he's 5th overall for me. So he teed a green, essentially, pretty solid. We know it really is going to come down to can the putter get hot or lukewarm for him, and he's going to do fine for 6,900. You know, 6th in par 4 DK scoring, 7th in good approach, 10th in ball striking, 14th in irons. Just solid across the board for the price, and you can take some chances there and hope the putter comes around. Zach Blair, 6,800, right there with these two guys. Played here 3 of the last 6 years, made the cut every time, 63rd, 48th, and 30th. He, too, played the last three tournaments, finishing 20th, 9th, and 7th. I really like the strong finish there by him in the fall. Stat-wise, looks good. 9th in irons, 11th in birdie or better, 14th in par 4 DK scoring, 11th in opportunities, 19th in ball striking. Mid-pack, right on the mid-pack on putting. So for 6,800, really strong play on paper. We know how that can work out. But for the price, I definitely will have plenty of looks there. Takumi Kanaya really looks good. He's the bubble boy, 6,700. I like a lot of what I see in him. The biggest negative and why he's a bubble boy is he's played here 4 of the last 5 years and missed a cut every time. So I have a kind of an asterisk there to go dig into why he's missed a cut, and has it been horrible, or has he maybe missed a cut by one every time? You know, I don't know. I do that deep dive on Tuesday night, so I'll figure that out. So he may just be kicked out of the pool completely if he's terrible here, but I don't think he will be. I assume it's not as bad as it looks, but it's probably, you know, it's not great to miss it 4 out of 5 times. But, you know, he played in the fall, 33rd at Bank of Utah, 3rd at the Worldwide, missed a cut at Bermuda, 3rd in opportunities inside 18 feet, 5th in good approach, 23rd in par 4 DK scoring, 38th in putting. So there's enough, you know, positives there for me to take some chances. I have him as a bubble boy simply because of that course history. I want to go look into that and see, you know, is that worth, you know, X-ing them out, or is there enough noise there that we can, you know, kind of push it to the side and take some chances there? We'll get into that tonight and have that updated in the content on the site. So 6K range, we'll go Ekrot 6,900, Gim 6,900, Blair 6,800, and Kanaya 6,700 as the bubble boy. My fade of the week currently is Morikawa. Hadn't played at all in the fall. He hasn't played here since 2021. He did finish 7th. I'll give him credit for that. He was just up and down all over the place last year. And for 9,800, if I was going to pay up and eat chalk, I would probably go to Henley for 500 more, just because he has such the strong course history here. If I was going to fade one, play one, I would eat the chalk on Henley and fade Morikawa that way. So Morikawa would be my fade right now. Sleeper of the week, I'm going to go Matt McCarty, 7,500. Looks like he's coming in 3 to 4% right now. It's early. That can change. Played here last year. It was the first time he ever played it. Made the cut. Didn't do much on the weekend. 65th. 3rd at the Bank of Utah. 12th in stats overall. 14th in recent form. 2nd in putting. So, you know, pretty solid, you know, on all the stats I'm looking at. Plus a strong putter at times. For 7,500, if he truly is sub 5%, I don't mind him for a little sleeper of the week. Played him a couple times last year. Do remember watching him at times. I think he rose up there and had some top finishes, you know, top 10s at times, top 20s. But I don't mind him at all at 7,500. Some other gut feel plays to keep an eye on. Michael Brennan, 7,600. He's a guy I like a lot this year in general. He won the Bank of Utah, 18th at a Worldwide, 51st of Bermuda, solid stats, you know, early in his career. Want to see him to, you know, see how he keeps developing and moving on. But at 7,600, I definitely don't mind there. Jordan Smith, 7,200. Got to pull in some of the overseas stuff, but looks pretty solid. Has not played this course at all. That'd be the only negative, but don't mind him. Woodland, as he continues to come back, 7,400. Don't mind that. McNealy, 9,200. Just missed out on being in my Sweet 16, but he's played this the last 4 years, made the cut every time, has a 7th place and a 27th place there. Mitchell, He's played here the last 6 years straight, missed a cut twice, but he has a 14th, a 7th, a 30th, and a 30th, an 18th at Bermuda as well. So I like that he played the Bermuda, and he's, you know, if he's not missing the cut, you know, he's got top 30 or better the other 4 years, so I don't mind that. Johnny Kiefer, a guy I have my eye on for some potential this year, a 7th at Bermuda. He's never played here, but he's one I don't mind. He can putt as well. He's top 25 in putting right now in the field. And then the Korn Ferry Tour champ, Blanchett, 7,100. I don't mind taking some shots there. Top five that pop to me in two long shots, betting. I like Kitayama, 50-1. Mesner, 65-1. Griffin, 20-1. Harry Hall, 40-1. Eric Cole, 60-1. Two long shots, I like Ekroat, 125-1, and Cootie, 100-1. You can shop those around. I certainly will. I'll have my final betting card out on Wednesday per usual. My early one-and-done leans, I put my final one-and-dones out with the Gupf's Final Thoughts premium article on the site on Wednesday evenings, late or early evenings, late afternoons. Right now, like Griffin, Hall, Cole, Kitayama, and Hoy would be my five that I'm looking at. One thing I always caution at the early, I think people reach too early for like, I got to save this and save that guy. Remember, look at your rules of your one and done. Some have little tweaks here and there. You know, for the most part, you know, you got what, 30, 35 tournaments, give or take. You know, too often I see people get to the end of the year and have a lot of good players still left and they go, damn, why did I save that guy? I'm not saying you got to go out there and use Matsu or, you know, Henley, which I wouldn't mind using Henley. I don't, you know, or something like that, but I wouldn't argue against it. You know, there's going to be plenty of guys. Who knows how this whole PGA, you know, or how this whole live thing shakes out. We already got Brooks now back. You know, he's going to play in the majors cause he's, you know, exempt and he's exempt on PGA till 2028. Bryson could come back. I mean, there's so many options there. And then you're going to have the Ben Griffins of the world that you didn't know was going to get hot and be great options at the end of the year that will be there for you to choose as well. So I wouldn't get too cute early. I'd try to get strong on you know, some solid finishes or who can legitimately try to win this thing. You know, I'm not going to reach him for – you know, even though I like McCarty or Gary Woodland or something like that, like I'm not going down that far right now this week. I'm looking at the top, you know, 10 to 15 in the odds and stuff and trying to figure out who I like the most there. But, you know, Hoy is probably my biggest reach and he's 40-1, maybe Cole 60-1. So, you know, I'll have that finalized tomorrow on the site, you know, the premium site per usual. Next week it's our once a year big national conference. It's actually in Dallas this year instead of California, which is good for me, a lot closer. I don't know if I'll have the pod. I'll have all the premium content and everything, but depending the schedule and all that, that may be the one pod time of the year as far as golf season goes that I may have to miss the pod. But if I do, then I'll be back in 2 weeks pod wise but content won't miss a beat. I'll have all that out. Looking forward to this year and this week, get some golf going, put it alongside some football. Should be an awesome year. If you have any questions, you want to join the site again, you can use New Year, 30% off, risk-free seven day trial included. If you never joined before, super cheap. As cheap as there is out there. You can buy an annual and it comes out to about $7 a month on content and $15 a month on full site. Monthly, it's like 10 and 20 bucks. Or you can just do weekly. I'd at least do monthly, probably just with the 30% off, you know, 10 bucks, 20 bucks. That's nothing compared to the industry, but hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys enjoy the pod. Been a while. I took the fall off from pods on the NFL cause I had a lot of things going on. I need to kind of focus, on that stuff, but I'm back. We'll be doing all the pods for golf again and per usual schedule, per usual moving forward now. Hope you guys have a great Tuesday and a great golf week, kickoff week, and we'll talk to you soon.